What's going on, y'all? This is your boy Ed.
This is Joe.
Coming to you from the backyard.
That bull spit.
As
You
always,
got it,
we got
brother.
a special episode tonight.
That's it.
Our first murder investigation.
Ooh.
It is an open case.
It is an open
So
investigation.
If you have any tips or leads, you can contact the GBI at 800-597-8477. Make sure I got that right. And it
That's it.
Was,
You got
by
it.
God.
Boom, son.
That was the statement we got from Special Agent Kimberly A. Williams from the GBI. So,
That's
yeah,
it.
If you get any tips or leads,
anything.
I mean, this is a 15-year-old cold case.
That's it, 2004.
2004. Body was found in 05.
That's it.
But we got a very intriguing case, I believe.
That's it.
It's,
it is.
It's,
definitely, you know, it's definitely something to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, you know, we got our own theories that, you know, after we tell our story here, we're going to get into for sure.
That's it, brother.
You know.
Yeah. That scuffle.
But, yeah. That scuffle, yeah. That altercation.
That's it, brother. You
know, what are our thoughts?
That's it, dog.
But
disclaimer now, these are our thoughts and opinions. In no way does this reflect the thoughts of the GBI or any law enforcement agency.
Yep.
This is specifically our opinions
that
on
is
the case,
true.
What we think, and what
this
we believe.
This is, like I said, an open investigation,
That's
a
it.
Cold case from Cummings, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And another, I want to also say before I forget, at the end of the episode, I want to say thank you again to the GBI for answering the phone and, you know, sending
coming
us
through.
Email. Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, you know, we appreciate
That's it.
That's it. All right. Yeah, for sure. Keep up the good work. Like,
you know?
But anyway. Excuse me. It's April 15th, 2004. It's a rainy, regular day.
Yeah.
So,
especially
trees,
if you live out here in the mountains, man.
Yeah. Out here in the south.
Because, you know, Cummins, Georgia is 3.5 hours, 4 hours away from us, I think.
Yeah, about. Something like that.
Something like that. So, I mean, you know,
it's not that far.
They live in the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, they live in a climate where it rains a lot.
Yeah.
We get a lot of rain out here.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we have our dry spells too.
Get you some. But, you know, when it rains, it's wet.
Yeah, definitely. When it rains, it pours around here. But anyway.
Especially in the
spring.
So,
Pistol, which is the son of Patrice Andreas.
Pistol Wade Black
wakes up. Regular alarm meal. His mom running on the treadmill.
That's it.
You know, to a regular, like I said, April 15th, 2004, regular day. You know, so Pistol wakes up, gets ready for school. You know, his mom ends up taking him to school.
Right, did he miss the bus, did it say?
No, I think that was the regular routine.
Oh,
she just took him
on
the way.
Work.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. On her
way
to work,
gotcha.
She took him to school. All right. He dropped her off like normal. Told him he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Loved her. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a
regular day.
Day.
Yeah.
Regular rainy day, man. That's it.
And, you know, so she goes off to work. Gets there at about 9 o'clock. Let's see here. Yeah. She got there a little bit early, about 8:30, because she had an appointment at 9 o'clock. That's what it was. 8:50 hairdressing. You know, so from 8:50, she stays till like almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
From 8:50, she stays there till 11:05 a.m. You know, and they're shooting shit, you know.
Getting her hair done.
Getting her hair done, you know, the whole
nine
yards.
If you're a woman, you understand.
Yeah, you definitely know. You go to the hairdresser, you're there for a while.
Gossip.
Yeah.
You know.
The whole nine yards. You know, it's a regular day.
Your hairstylist is your best friend, I think.
I think
women, their hairstylists are their best friends.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
They're definitely gossip girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and not the CW show.
No.
Right?
Yeah,
whatever.
For sure.
ABC, Big Dog.
It's
a gossip corner, dude.
But yeah, I mean, that's just what, you know.
That's
part of it.
That's
part of having friends.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is.
Part of having friends. Anyway, and this lady that was there was named Pam Shepherd. Been longtime friends.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. She helped, you know,
she was actually,
she helped, you know, yeah, you know,
she was involved in the documentary series on Unsolved Mysteries on
that's
Netflix.
Absolutely
she
correct.
Was involved,
yeah.
So, you know, she did make an appearance on the set of the
show.
Yeah,
she sure did. She gave a statement and everything.
She was willing to speak.
Yeah. So she leaves at 11:05 or 11:10, you know.
Yeah.
And then Paul Cantor shows up for a haircut, who's directly after Miss Pam Shepherd. And that's at 11:10. So by 11:27, Paul Cantor leaves the hair salon.
Walks out.
On a cell phone.
Calls somebody.
And just leave. Leaves the shop at 11:27 on a cell phone call, which the police then verified through cell phone records.
That's it.
All right. So at 11:35, a customer calls to change their appointment time, who claims that Patrice was short on the phone.
Yeah, same distressed.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say same distressed, just short. You know what I mean? Like, man, okay.
Yeah, but they said that was unusual.
It was unusual. Yeah, it was definitely out of the blue. Like, you know, not usual day anymore.
Disheveled. Wasn't that the word they used, disheveled?
Or shuffled? I don't know.
They used a word like that. As if
some
she
big
was,
word.
Yeah, it was a word like that. As if she was in some sort of hurry, but he said another word.
Yeah.
He said hurry without saying.
Yeah,
that's layman's terms for what he said.
He sounded smart, bro.
Yeah, hurry. You know what I'm saying? Hurry is layman's terms for what that guy said.
For
that's
sure.
What I'm getting at.
Yeah. But anyway, the customer claimed that that was very odd. You know, that she was real short. Because,
yeah,
you
she
know.
Was,
I mean,
this, she was this freaking.
She was the life of the party.
Yeah.
She was, you know, the person to be.
You went to gossip with Patrice.
You know, people wanted to hang out with her. She's very well liked.
Yeah,
in the community. And
she
was,
she was just that woman, you could tell.
Yeah, you know, she was very well liked in the community, which made it, you know.
Easy. Well, she was everybody's hairstylist, I bet. Probably cut everybody's kids' hairs in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She seemed like that. Shout out to a woman we know that's like that up in Rainsville.
Well, solid.
Don't say no names, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Well, solid.
But anyway, they get off the phone at 11. So she calls at 11:35 to change her appointment. She gets off the phone because Patricia's rushed at 11:37. So, the next phone call comes in at 11:50. It's unanswered.
Dead silence.
So, from 11:37, when she got off the phone with her customer that called to change her appointment, to 11:50, when that phone call was unanswered, she disappears.
Gone.
Without a trace. Why?
13 minutes.
13-minute window. Everything's gone. Everything's... So, the police get there. And they call Pistol, school, so you ask if he had heard from his mom.
Right.
No, he hasn't, but he said that if I call, she'll answer, though. You know, because that's the relationship. They're very close.
Right. Was her son?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, hell yeah. If I call,
kid,
she's going to answer.
If my kids call, I'd answer.
The
kids ain't old enough to have phones yet, but when they are, I'll
answer. Yeah, heck yeah, dude.
Children.
Yeah, but we're not mom either, though.
We'll still answer,
yeah. But anyway, he calls three different times. No answer.
Zip.
No answer. That was very, very unusual.
Yeah, that's what he said, too.
Yeah, very unusual.
Yeah, it was a very unusual. Never happened.
Yeah, it's never happened.
It never happened before since cell phones had been invented. Never.
Yeah.
Phones were around.
Yeah, yeah.
Never.
Never happened. It was very odd. Very, very odd.
So then he was took to the...
So then...
After that was the first thing they went to meet him at school, and then they took him with them, right?
I believe so, yeah. And then the time that they're bringing Pistol to the scene, the cops are, you know, taping it up, all that good stuff, and investigating it. And they specifically said that you would have never thought that there anything had happened except that the register was open and the cash was gone, but yet her purse and wallet were laying right beside it.
Untouched.
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 Correct.
Didn't
she had food next to the microwave.
As if she was going to eat lunch. Those were their words.
Yeah, as if she was getting ready to eat lunch. Correct. Because apparently she took lunch at about 11:30 noon.
Yeah.
In between that time frame, I guess.
Would set her appointments up around it.
Yeah. You know, give her a 30-minute break, whatever.
Yeah, let me eat.
You know, and they also said that another thing that was unusual was that her car was parked out front and not on the side of the building. Like it has in the previous.
Yeah.
And every day before, it was parked on the side of the building, facing the highway. But this time, it was facing west.
Let me show you a diagram.
Pulled out.
If we're looking from it here from the street.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a diagram here. All right, here we go. From the street, her car would usually be parked at the side of the building, the front door being here. Right?
Right.
All right. So this time, when they got there.
Yeah.
All right. So Patrice's car is here in front of the building as if. They say she was going to give someone a jump.
Or, of some sort.
Right.
Something like that.
I just wanted to get some kind of visual.
Well, yeah, that was the context they had, anyway, that the police had.
Something was off
because
her car was there.
Correct. And we have two witnesses that drive by at 11:45, so we have two people that drive by as whatever's happening is happening.
Right.
You know, and one of them gives us a statement, Miss Tammy Fincher, saying that she's seen a blue Lumina Yeah.
Chevy Lumina.
Chevy Lumina. Blue Chevy Lumina.
Specific.
Yes, very specific. Parked in front of the door. Like,
so. Another diagram.
Okay.
So this is Mario here. Will be the car.
Yeah, he's parked in front of the door like that.
This will be Patrice's car.
Correct, with her car just like that. Exactly like that.
All right, and she said this will be our suspects who she said that she saw.
Yep.
A blonde head or white headed older lady, which will be blonde head gold tings here.
Heck yeah.
And brunette,
older. Taller.
Could have possibly, and this is where it was, it could have possibly been a man.
Yeah.
Could have possibly been a man with short, shoulder length hair, which is Vegito here. Bam. Coming around the car that they're going in the front door here.
Right. Yeah. Standing, yeah. And she's, so that was where her statement pretty much ended.
Well, and she also was very specific about the tag. I
having a Georgia State Quail. You're absolutely right. A Georgia State Quail license plate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now remember this statement because it's going to come into play later.
Later on, yeah, it does. So the second witness,
whose name has been disclosed.
His name has been disclosed.
His name has been disclosed. This diagram gives us this. This was his.
Yeah, that was. This is the second diagram. Mm-hmm. So the second witness comes by, and claimed as he was passing the store, at the same time as the encounter has Andrea or as the encounter. Said there was a Ford Taurus, possibly a Malibu, which is also going to be Mario in this diagram. But Patrice's car was also...
Is Luigi. The diagram of where Mario and Luigi is still the crime scene that we see. Through witness statements.
Except the second witness claims to only see a dark-haired male.
Yes.
So, that's where, you know...
Walking into the store.
Correct. So...
There you go.
That was in the 13 minute. That was at 11:45 a.m. Mm. That's when that happened. So within the next, let's say, 5 minutes, she's not in the store and they're gone.
Yeah.
We'll
get into the theories about what we think happened later. Let's just continue the story.
So after that, everybody's called. You know, Rob, her husband, Rob Andreas, her husband, is called. Yes. And he's a suspect, of course. He's the husband.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously.
You know, pistol's on his way already. Right. You know, to the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Right. And, They get there, and, you know, he's like, you know, what'll do? You know,
I just didn't get enough context from the guys when I saw in their interviews. I didn't get enough context.
Right.
You can see how pistol felt, but, you know, there wasn't enough emphasis on, and I know that, you know, you just couldn't get a context of how they felt about the day.
Right.
Of course, it was heartbreaking for her kid, but Rob, he didn't have any, you know.
Yeah, he was just talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a regular day.
So, you know, you didn't really get, you know, there was no context behind that day.
Not really. There wasn't very many details, other than what was...
What was shown.
Yeah, what
that
was we, it. Yeah,
that's what they know.
And then...
I would assume as much as we know about what happened.
So the police get to investigating around the thing. Like I said, they find no signs of a struggle. The cash register is open. Her purse and wallet are laying right next to the cash register, which the cash register, like I said, has no money.
Yeah.
Her food's next to the microwave.
Which is telling, bro.
Like,
somebody come in there pretty,
amped up or...
Swiftly.
Like, yeah, that's 13 minutes, bro. That ain't long.
And... Our food's sitting there, but, you know, it would be, I don't know. We'll get into the theories about that later.
So, anyway, yeah. And then...
they start a search party, right?
Yeah, they start a search party. Mm-hmm. And they go from there, and they never, nothing's ever found. And then... So, like I said, they start rounding up suspects. They find her appointment book, so they go talk to all the people that are in the appointment. Miss Pan Shepherd, who had a interview, or a interview, had a hair appointment at 8:50 a.m. She was there. Yeah. Didn't leave till 11:10. Paul Cantor comes in.
Yeah.
They check his phone records.
Verified that he was on the phone
when he was leaving. He was on the phone when he was leaving.
That's it.
And then, like I said, the customer at 11:35, they got it on record, that telephone records, that, she called and that she talked to Patrice. But like I said, she seemed rushed, which was odd.
Yeah.
And then gets off the phone at 11:37. And that's as far as they know.
There's your timeline.
You know what I mean? Like,
gone. Poof.
From 11:37 to 11:50.
Yeah. So,
like I said, the witnesses at 11:45, they drive by.
You got it.
Miss Fincher, you know, which was on again part of the Netflix doc, you know, Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah.
But here's where it gets scratchy, right?
All right.
So outside of all that, the moments after that as well. Where it gets first.
Yeah.
Scratchy.
So the next couple of days is what.
Well, the first 24 hours is the worst.
Yeah.
While there's a search party out, right?
Yeah, so while they're searching, Rob goes through, her husband at the time, goes through and, you know, changes every lock in the house.
Admits to it.
Admits to changing every lock in the house within 24 hours of her disappearance.
Okay. So it never enclosed either how quick anybody was.
He said it wouldn't let a pistol into the house to get his clothes, anything. Wouldn't let him in the house, pretty much. Like,
because he was their only suspect at this time. You would have to assume that Paul, Rob, Andreas was their only suspect at this time.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? It was it. So, in the first 24 hours when people are out searching for her in the rain, her son, everybody, you have Rob and Andreas in the house, changing the locks to the house so the kid can't get back in.
He said it was for protective measures.
I understand that. What protective measures? Let me get past that. So the kid comes home, and I'm going to put up this is the most terrible story, part of the story.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
The kid whose mother's disappeared. I'm sure she, he had hopes she'd come back, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know
who
what I mean?
Who doesn't? Yeah. I mean, dang, man.
So, and he comes home, what his home was, and the doors were locked. He couldn't get in.
Right.
As if he didn't exist.
Yeah, like, that's definitely sus. Yeah. That's definitely suspect. Like, that is suspect. But anyway, and everybody that's close to Patrice didn't really like Rob. Like, her sister, the son apparently didn't, they got a lot of eyes on Rob.
This was the way it was portrayed.
Yeah, it portrayed. A lot of eyes on,
this is public domain for you to go out and see this.
That's just the way, for real. Straight up. I mean,
but,
that's
not even half of it. This is where it gets a little,
But after the next coming days, nothing's found. She doesn't come back, she's just gone.
Nothing.
They had no leads, nothing. They had two people that they had found. Which, Jeremy Jones, wasn't that his name? I believe so.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah, here's where it gets a little interesting. Right?
Jeremy Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Brian, something like that.
Well, the first one was Gary Michael Hilton.
Yeah, the National Forest Killer. We'll get into him too in some theories.
Where did I find it?
I was something Jones.
I believe it is Jeremy Jones. JJ.
Yeah. He was a serial killer. He was actually arrested in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, correct. He was in jail.
Yeah.
In Mobile, that's where they questioned him.
Yeah, where he confessed, right?
Yeah, where he attempted to confess.
Yeah. Well, he confessed to it.
Jeremy Jones right here. Yeah, I just found it. Boom. Bam. Yeah. But, so he confessed to a statement saying that he did kill Patrice and Dreyfus.
Yeah, he liked to go to a barbershop.
Yeah, he said.
He liked to frequent it.
No. Said he just showed up one day.
Was that him? One of them said that they would go through there ever so often.
It might have been. I don't know.
Okay, either way.
I don't know. This is where the juicy stuff starts happening. Jeremy Jones claims that he kills her. And he's telling this to the police in Mobile because they pull him out. Because he was earlier seen or something happened in Forsyth County.
Yeah, he murdered a lady. I can't think of her name, but he murdered. As a matter of fact, let me get out my...
Get out your paper. Heck yeah.
Let's see. I thought I had it.
Well, he killed somebody up there.
Yep,
some 17... What did you say?
Meredith Emerson? I think that's her name I have wrote down here.
Yeah, it might be it. Meredith. I know it was Emerson.
He murdered in a... I know I had it wrote down. He murdered her in a few... counties above or around
something like that,
somewhere around Forsyth County at the time, Cummins, Georgia. So
right,
he was, of course, he's a serial killer. You would ask him.
Yeah,
so he's from Oklahoma. I'll get into some back. I looked into him as well.
Did week. You?
Yeah. Right. I got my theories coming, big dog.
Right, yeah. So anyway, he states that He killed her, and he gave a pretty damning diagram.
Yeah, good one, yeah.
A pretty damning diagram. Your picture. You know, he had some guilty information, as the GB I would call it.
Yeah, that's it.
So they believe it.
But as far as to where the car's parked, but there was one thing that would later come to be found out that would taint this, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Go to the next one.
Gary Michael Hilton, also known as the National Forest Killer.
Yeah. So this dude was a psycho.
Yeah, he was just... You know, and he was pretty much just telling them how it would, if it was a sociopath, this is how it would go down. Yeah. That's pretty much what his statement was. Yeah. Like, I don't believe that
he did kill around the National around the Forest time, in Georgia's, in Atlanta. That was his, And this guy had also, Connor, I'll get a bit more, but he had made a movie. He had consulted and helped make a movie about a guy who chased people around in a National Forest and murdered them. That's no joke.
He made a movie about himself.
Basically. A prequel to what was to come. The guy that directed it said, when I looked up about it.
Yeah.
When I read about it, the director of the movie that helped him do it, he said that, he said it was a prequel to what
he was about to go start doing.
That he was going to do. So, yeah, well, I got a few theories about him as well.
Right. Do you know what the movie was called?
No.
Damn, we need to look it up, bro.
Yeah.
We need to look it up.
So
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is
I didn't know that.
That's juicy as well, brother.
But anyway, he was just giving it. The deputy was pretty much just talking to him.
Yeah.
More or less.
If you did it.
Yeah.
How would you do it?
Yeah. More or less. Like, it was pretty crazy stuff. Yeah.
It was just coincidence. That's where he was killing around and everything.
Yeah. And he's like, here's how it would happen if it happened.
And then would say something as a sociopath would to make it sound like they did it.
Yeah. For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was crazy. But December 6th, they find her body.
Yeah.
2005. Precisely 600 days.
Yeah.
After her disappearance. December 6th, 2005. Yep. Elbert Clark, a member of the Lebanon Church, a family descendant who built the church in 1941, was fencing up a few, was finishing up, helping build up a new addition to the church, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And finishing up the new fellowship, when he saw buzzards circling in the forest, and he told his buddy helping him he was gonna go check it out after they finished eating biscuits. So after they finished eating the biscuits, they walk on down in the forest, see what them buzzards are circling about.
Yeah.
Well, next thing you know, it was a dead deer, I believe.
Yeah, it was a carcass of a deer.
It was a carcass of a deer that they were eating on, but behind where Elbert was standing, probably, 10, we'll say 10 feet.
Yeah,
somewhere about 10 feet.
Yeah.
It's a human skull.
Yeah. Five miles.
Yeah, 6 miles.
6 miles from the salon.
Yeah. And behind the Lebanon Church.
Was it? Yeah, Lebanon Church.
Lebanon, yeah.
By the way, the name of the movie is Trails of Death.
Trails of Death. Gary Michael Hilton. Pretty cool. That's pretty fudged, bro.
The borderlands.
That's pretty fudged, bro.
You know what I'm saying? The borderlands of it all.
That's crazy.
That's definitely crazy.
But,
wow.
So, yeah, that's pretty fucked. So, anyway, they find Patrice's remains behind this Lebanon Baptist
Five
church.
Miles.
Six
now,
miles.
Now,
from Patrice's patron in a heavy, Patrice's salon in a heavily wooded area. Police state it would be very difficult to carry dead weight, but she could have been walked into the woods. They don't know.
From behind, right?
Yeah, behind
through
the church.
The
through the
woods.
In a heavily wooded area.
Through the woods, somebody would have had to drag her.
Or carry her.
Yeah, but leave their car.
I don't know, bro. Middle of the night.
Yeah.
Most people don't, you know what I mean? Like, you see a car at a church, you ain't thinking nothing about it.
Yeah,
really?
That.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't thinking nothing about it.
I feel you, dog.
Especially in the middle of the night. Like, I wouldn't. I mean, personally, I would think nothing. I'd keep right on driving.
Yep. Right on by
you. Right. So, I mean, it's possible that she could have been carried out there.
I mean, anything's possible at this point.
I mean, I don't know.
About this case,
That's true.
There's never been an arrest. There's never been, outside of speaking to Paul Cantor and the lady who got her hair dyed and Rob and Pistol and her friends and Don
Family,
Black,
yeah.
Most trustworthy man I've ever laid eyes on.
Pistol's dad.
Yeah, Don.
Patrice's ex-husband.
Yeah, Don.
Don Black.
Don, bro. I'm telling you. You look at that guy when you watch the documentary and tell you can't trust that guy. You're lying to me if you say you're cool. You just know you can't.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was very, yeah.
You know, so, you know what I'm saying? They talked to everybody, and it's been, I wonder how many years it's been since they had a tip.
I don't know.
You know?
That's pretty much it. Like, that's all they gave us. Like,
that's it.
You know, it
and
was.
The gist of it.
That was, you know, more or less it. I mean.
That's it, brother.
She goes to work, like I said, normal day.
Yeah, takes her son to school, runs takes on the treadmill that morning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, normal day. That's what was so weird. It was raining. That was the only oddity about that day until 11:37. Mm-hmm. Between 11:37 and 11:50.
When Paul Cantor left.
When
Paul Cantor walked out.
Yeah. So now, after this ad break, we'll get into our theories.
That's right.
On Anchor, anyway. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to us on Anchor.
Appreciate it.
You know, we're going to get back into the theories now.
That's it.
I'm going to let you jump this off, bro.
That's scuffle, dude. I've got a wild range of some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've got a few avenues, alleys that could make sense and couldn't. Because I've said it many times on the show. If you've watched it, we've never done this, but Jordan's true crime brain goes off. You know what I'm saying? So, my conspiracy things start going off. So, I'm going to start with the most obvious and the man who made himself look the most guilty in my eyes.
Yeah.
I remember at the early episode, I gave you a disclaimer. If you didn't, you should have left then because these are my opinions. That's it. So, Robin Durr has done a few things that's disturbed me in general.
I agree with that.
Outside of what they've said on the show, I found a few other things that disturbed me a little bit.
Right.
So first of all, you change the locks on your kid, bro. Not only you don't like your stepkid, that's fine. I understand that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't like each other. He was what, 17?
Yeah. 16, 17. He's going into senior year.
Yeah, okay. So you know he's an older kid. He's kind of figuring his way out in the world, and you're not his dad. Cool. You don't like that. He don't like you. Cool. It's fine.
Right.
It's all good. Thumbs up to you. That's just sometimes how it is. But when you change the locks 24 hours.
After your then wife goes missing.
To me, that's suspect. You're cleaning up DNA, period.
Right. Yeah.
If nothing else, that makes you look guilty of one thing.
Right.
Hiding something.
Something.
Don't know what it is.
Hiding something, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That's definitely sus, bro. I will 100% agree with that.
All right. So, and then on top of that, you know, I called it. What was the first thing I said when I saw that man's face on that show? What'd I say?
I don't like that motherfucker. That's
exactly what I said, dude. That dude does not fit right with me, at all.
Not only that, bro. He's got a degree in criminology.
Exactly.
If he's got a degree, not a minors, he's got a degree, which I'm assuming is probably a bachelor's. So he spent 4 years, I'm assuming, in criminology.
Yeah, he never said.
Because we know somebody personally that has been to school for criminology and just got out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and he spent 5 years in criminology. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's sus in itself.
Exactly.
I mean, that in and of itself to me is sus.
But anyway, even without a criminology degree, right? Even without it, where would be the best place to commit something like that?
I guess in your house.
In a hair salon.
Oh.
Everybody's DNA is everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody's. Possibly everybody's in town.
Yeah, true that.
Who else would know that outside of a freaking criminology major?
Right. Who else would think like that anyway?
You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So one place you can't truly gather any evidence.
Not really concrete unless something happened. Which, I mean, like I said, like they said, you know, her salon was.
Spot.
I mean, there was no sign of a struggle. Yeah. Nothing was overturned. Nothing, you know, I mean, it was, the only thing odd was the cash register was open.
Yeah, it was almost like she ran away.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it looked, you know, more or less looked like. She just left everything and dipped, except her car was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but Robin Durr's made himself a suspect even more, and I looked it up, okay, and there was a quote from the director, and there was a quote from the producer. One of them was like, we can't believe, he was upset that people, because people are attacking Robin Durr.
Yeah, they are.
They're going after the guy.
Yeah.
They believe he's Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
He killed
Carol Baskin.
Fatter to the tigers, they're snacking. Period. You know what I'm saying? And, that's what people believe, dog. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
Period. That's what, you know.
Well, he gives off that vibe, bro.
Okay. All right, and I saw some other things creep me out about him. Criminology mattered, but also, when they found her body 600 days later decomposed, he had them reassemble it in the middle
of the funeral home on a table.
Yeah, and then cradled her skull and walked around with it.
And then kissed it on the forehead.
Yeah.
And then had her cremated.
Yeah. Without anybody seeing it, anything.
Yeah, wouldn't let Rob see it.
Nobody.
Or Pistol, I mean, I'm sorry.
Pistol never.
Yeah. Which is pretty.
It's all done too. In the night. Yeah. How that was done is suspicious.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, done and, yeah.
You know? Something doesn't add up there. The locks alone. The locks alone should have had that man put under so much surveillance. You know?
Yeah.
But I assume he had a criminal. He worked there. What if he never said that if he worked with or near the department?
He never said. They took him down to an interview. For an interview after, you know, of course, after it happened. The day it happened.
Yeah, and he was clear.
But other than that.
Because of a receipt.
He had a receipt from Woodstock. And if you look it up, bro, on the map, Woodstock, Georgia's lot. And he had to go to Conyor. I think it's. God, that scared me. That scared me to death, bro.
Me too.
Oh, dang, I'm a heart attack. Right. But it was Conyor, Conyer.
Yeah.
All right. Georgia. And if you look at the map, bro, like, here's Cummins, here's Woodstock, here's Conyor.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason he should be way the fuck over here.
Yeah, well, we read something that said it could have possibly be 40 minutes out of the way.
It was 55 minutes from here to here.
Excuse me.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you're going to clock in at 12 o'clock on a second shift job, bro, that's not second shift.
Yeah.
That's like the end of first.
But you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the police and law enforcement and understand that they done their job to their... You know, they done it.
In the heat of the moment.
I'm
you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just something that you know, I mean, we can look back on it because we ain't police, man. We ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're just two dudes looking at the shit.
Yeah, just talking about it. Trying to bring awareness to it. That's most important. More eyes that see it, possibly
800-597-8477.
GBI.
GBI. Kimberly A. Williams. You know what I'm saying? We'll saw it,
dropping tips off.
Let's see it, dude. Leads.
You feel me?
Hell yeah. But, I mean, you know, that's definitely sus. And my whole thing was, you know, I'm right there with you. Like, Rob's definitely a suspect.
Yeah.
In my head. Like, he is, bro. He's definitely one of two. But the only other one that we know of, or that it's in my head really, truly, is deceased now. Which makes it even more sus to me. Which, I mean, I know in the Netflix version, it portrayed him as an older man.
An older gentleman. Yeah. A distinguished man.
Yeah, you know,
with
definitely.
Gray hair. Not salt and pepper gray.
Yeah, it was 50s, all maybe? Salt. Like, you know. 50s, probably, 60s. I was thinking 60s, maybe late 60s. You know what I'm saying?
His alibi was confirmed by.
Paul Cantor is the man I'm talking
about.
And he's the other suspect in my head.
Yeah.
Besides Rob. Because the only thing clearing him, like you said, is his phone records. They never talked to him as far as the Netflix thing even said. They just looked at his phone records, seen that he was on the phone right when he said he was, I guess.
That was good
and
enough.
Then, that was good
But
enough.
In a small town, bro, you know, people take, you know, they probably know the cops. They probably know each other. Everybody takes everybody's word for it.
Oh, I believe that.
You know, Paul Cantor is deceased or whatever, and it's just...
That,
you know,
to me, that was...
He has no reason to defend himself anymore. And, But, you know, it is kind of... It's just fishy, bro.
Yeah, it's fishy.
I feel like, and this is, like I said, the disclaimer was there. It's my opinion. There was some miscommunication with the police, and I believe the killer... But I also have some other theories about some serial killers that... Two in particular. Which one... As we said, you remember what his name? Jeremy Jones.
Yeah, Jeremy Jones.
We're going to get off Rob because I don't want to bash him too much because he's cleared. Rob Andres has been cleared. I'm not in the GBI office. I don't know. I'm not in anybody's office. But he's cleared. As far as he's not a suspect, he's happily married again. He sleeps with his wife and Patrice's ashes. according to him, it's what he said. I'm quoting straight, come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He sleeps with those ashes every night. And he's also got a wife that I'm sure, I don't know. Yeah, they say, three way, baby. That's what he says, That's what he says. So I'm going to get off Rob, but I want to hop into Jeremy Jones.
What you got?
He's a lie.
He's a lie?
He's a liar.
Yeah. I feel like he was planted.
Well, I mean, you know.
Not necessarily planted, but.
When you asked me the question, how quick things travel in jail, I guess fast enough to where, with the news, Yeah. I got to think about the news, you know. I remember the news. In Mobile, I'm sure people was like, well, this missing woman from Cummins. It was.
Well, he went on later to recant his statement.
Well, of course he did, because as we know now, she was found behind.
Yeah, he claimed to dump her body off a bridge.
Into a river.
Yeah. And the police searched that river. Never found a body.
Yeah, but found her.
Never found nothing, really.
I think it was like 20 miles away from the bridge he claimed to throw her over.
Yeah.
In a wooded area where no water was to be found.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was 6 miles from where she was on, where she was found. You know, where her remains were found.
So, I mean, it wasn't. That kind of threw me out. You know, threw me for a loop there.
Yeah.
So
he ended up recanting.
I don't think he did it. Speaking of recanting.
Yeah, this was very, very suspect. Because I know where you're going with this. Miss Fincher, the one of the witnesses that claimed at 11:45 she seen two women, the car, the blue Lumina in front, and
the specific, like I said,
the specific, you know, I mean, she was very specific.
And
she didn't know the tag number, but she knew it was a Georgia Quail State license plate by George. And, I mean, she was, like I said, in the... You know, Netflix thing.
It was damning.
Yeah, it was very, very.
It was
almost too descriptive. She got charged. Yeah, but anyway, she ended up recanting after the Netflix aired. Yeah. After it aired, she ended up recanting. And yeah, you're right. She did get criminally charged for making false statements. Because
she misled the police. If nothing else, that might have caused.
But yeah, she claimed that her recant. Statement was that she claimed it was a white van and not a blue Lumina.
Yeah.
And see, and Gary Michael Hilton Gary Michael Hilton was pulled over in Forsyth County in a white van, which the police also showed on the Netflix documentary. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure
the police went after that lead, the best lead they'd had in forever.
Yeah, because at this time, like I said, he was out. Murder.
There wasn't nobody. There was. This goes back to Rob, brother. It just falls into place, you know. But you can't find it. And I've looked. I thoroughly tried to find something that connected somebody to Tammy Fincher.
Right.
And I couldn't find it.
Right.
I couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't go knock on nobody's door. Yeah. I looked as far as the internet would allow me to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can't find nothing, you know. Because this was the day before MySpace was there, Facebook and all that.
Yeah.
So there was no documentations.
Yeah, there wasn't no social media, really. Yeah, you know. Like there is now.
There was nothing to document these people having any relationship.
Yeah, true that.
And I
guess that Ms. Fincher was just a frequent, at the salon herself.
Yeah.
Like Ms. Pam Shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, she was just a friend of Patrice's. Yeah.
Everybody was.
Like I said, she was a well-liked person.
Right. So Rob does look suspicious. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, I can definitely agree.
But I want to get to Hilton.
Gary Michael Hilton.
I want to get to him. I'm not going to say that this recantment's too far off. I don't like it because there's too much mystery shrouding this case.
Well, to me, for her to give such a descriptive.
Yeah,
and it was, bro. It was super, like, you know, this lady's going by it, like, 45, 50 miles an hour, and she's like, it's a blue Chevy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
blue Chevy Lumina to a white van is crazy.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
She's awfully descriptive.
You've lost your mind.
Yeah,
you're right. That's crazy.
I mean, I feel like, you know, either she lied or she was telling the truth the first time and was like, oh, fuck, that's guilty. It might be guilty info. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, they could really be looking for a fucking blue Chevy Lumina. And then she's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Right.
My nephew drives up.
Or, you know, whoever, you know. You know, whatever. I mean, you know. Hell, we don't know, dude.
Like, you don't know what's going through anybody's mind.
I mean, that was just what got me is because, like I said, her statement was.
Yeah. That was part of the statement that the police went after.
Detailed.
Because you know how hard it is to cut down a man. A man with a medium brown hair, dark hair,
brunette,
and a Chevy Malibu or a Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
Or Chevy. Which one do you think the police are going after?
Probably the one that's got a Quail State license plate.
Yeah, it's a Chevy Lumina.
Yeah, that's a blue Chevy Lumina. Yeah,
automatic.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, if somebody gives you a detailed description like that, you're going to think they know more than the person.
Two women. And I think the cops said, what did he say?
All right.
two almost identical statements.
Yeah, two independent statements.
Independent statements.
Like they had, the two witnesses had nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
That was why they got...
But they made... He said they made...
But they made decent sense because, yeah. Like, you know, how they were... That? I guess because they both had a brunette in front of the store and the way the cars were both parked. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because they both gave that description. Yeah. The cars... And then the brunette.
And they were both blue.
And they were both blue.
Yeah,
and but the dude said it, or the second witness said it might have been a Malibu or a Taurus.
Yeah, and a man.
And a man.
Yeah.
With short shoulder length, like you said, brunette hair.
Yeah.
And then the Miss Tammy Fincher.
Chevy Lumina.
Blue Chevy Lumina. Two women, one elderly.
And that's so specific.
And a Georgia Quail State license plate.
Bro, that is so.
That's what I'm saying. Look, that's us, bro. To me, that's sus. And then to go and recant after
years after
the Netflix things, yeah,
this recant this year.
After, yeah,
the 2020.
2020, so last
aired,
year,
yeah,
like, June 1st,
June and July,
June 1st.
You know what I'm saying?
This season,
yeah. Right?
So yeah, bro, you got to think 16 years after the fact, you're gonna come up and be like, no, it was a white van because I seen it on that Netflix thing. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Why? Mm. You know, that's pretty sus.
It was the freaking National Forest killer. That's what she was saying. It's him.
Yeah.
I was wrong, you know. And if you're going to recant like that, don't recant. Don't lie to the police. You know what I'm saying?
Don't give no reason to recant.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Nothing
like that.
Fucking reason to recant.
If you was going to make a statement up, you know what I'm saying?
Just don't do nothing.
That's what I'm assuming she did.
Give her the benefit. You feel like she just wanted to be on the attention.
I'm going
to
give her the benefit of the doubt and just say that she was Patrice's friend who, was it ever confirmed that maybe she was the one that called in?
No. They never said.
You know, or anything like that. She just felt bad. She said she was Patrice's friend, right?
Yeah.
So she was just upset and wanted to help. Possibly.
Think so?
Possibly just wanted some attention.
You know.
You know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she wasn't involved.
But I don't know.
How close friends were her? This is just theory now. Remember the disclaimer earlier.
Yeah. All this is, just us.
Yeah.
This is our opinion. So, you know, ain't nothing portrayed that
say,
we're saying. Any,
just
you know,
say,
yeah.
Hypothetically. You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically speaking. How close friends were her and Patrice? Did Tammy Fincher and Rob know each other?
Yeah.
Was there a triangle? You know, that's just theory, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't see how that hasn't been, you know.
I mean, there's a lot of angles that are different. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's why nobody can get nothing going on in this case.
Do you
think that recantment of her, which sparked it, you know what I'm saying?
I just think it was Hilton, right? No. Because remember, the recantment came after
the Netflix thing
aired.
Right.
So they was already talking to Gary Hill.
Yeah.
Way before she recanted.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's what makes it so sus to me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking that Chevy, you know, her first statement was probably
hers was the one that
I think it's pretty damning. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's guilty info, because I mean, but...
I feel like it's so specific.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's... You think so?
If that's the case, I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that she some way, you know,
made
what I mean?
That up. Just get some attention,
way,
in a way.
Maybe not attention, but I'm saying that's the last. I'm gonna take the ladder on this.
You think it was a way for her to get like, oh my God, I've seen this happen, like her guilty conscience in a way out,
yeah.
She could talk about it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a release in a way. Like,
yeah, forget the tension. She actually saw it.
She's seen it happen and was like, oh my God, you know, and then come to find out.
Yeah, or she was involved. And that, because to be so specific, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or somebody come to her after it aired and said, hey, I'm going to kill you.
I'm
just saying, you know.
Go recant right now.
There's two
you're
reasons
going to
why
jail.
You recant. Either you're involved or somebody's
threatening
you.
Right.
You know, you've said something that matters.
Well, what if she had to get to conscience? Like, I lied. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but then it makes something else up. If you got a guilty conscience, you're not going to tell the truth to lie again. You know what I'm saying? Well, okay, I feel bad for lying to you, but it was a white van with Gary Michael Hilton in it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
True, it
was a skinny man who enjoyed high. It was pretty athletic, that Gary Michael Hilton guy. Because she basically placed blame on him, or that was the dots they connected. However it worked, that was how he was involved. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They connected dots to him some way. So she's like, yeah, it was an elderly lady and a brunette lady.
Yeah.
And now it's Now athletic, it's just a athletic man in a plumber's van.
Yeah.
And a white van.
Yeah.
In a white, yeah. Not a blue Lumina, not a car, a van. Yeah, so.
Yeah, with no description on the license plate. Like,
you know, watch like yourself. That. Yeah.
I don't know, bro. That's I just what I'm think saying. That's
somebody's
us,
like, you better go recant. You go recant right now. Right now.
My quails are flying out here.
Yeah. They made those quail tags vintage, so I can't take it off.
Yeah, dude, it's antique now.
Messed up, right?
Dude.
But, you know, that's, you know, those, you know, it's not CSI, but, I mean, you would assume.
Yeah.
People don't just say, oh, well, I'm going to recant. People don't do that.
Yeah, you don't just, I wouldn't think you would just recant.
Not when it was so close to the other statement that wasn't as descriptive, but the color of one thing, two things about the statement, the color of the car.
Well,
and
the same.
Brunette hair.
And the brunette, yeah, the
And the locations of the vehicle.
Yep, that was all the same from the two independent witnesses that the GBI has.
Yeah.
And one of them is a recanted, so you know they ain't even witnessed them. They got one witness now.
Yeah,
well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
who's undisclosed? So they've obviously took that. You know, that's the real path that they're taking.
Yeah.
Because they did charge her.
Yeah, they criminally charged her with recanting.
To charge her with something, they would think that she done that on purpose. Wouldn't you think? You know?
I mean, it's still illegal.
I understand that, but that's at their discretion at that point.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you know, do we want to charge her for doing something on purpose? Misleading our investigation? Yeah.
You know, that could throw off any tips or anything that they, you know, could have possibly gotten. Because then somebody could have been like, oh, I did see a blue Chevy Luna.
Yeah,
you know,
like, oh, well, it was a white van.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Mandela effect kicks in. It was a wild man.
It was. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was just definitely, you know, and they didn't look into Paul Cantor no more than they did.
Definitely bothered me.
That threw me for a loop, and I'm not even, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was the last theory I had.
That was just like.
On my plate.
Yeah, so, man, that was really the, you know, between Rob and.
That jumped out to me the most.
Yeah. You know, did Rob and Paul know each other?
Yeah, there was no...
Who was he on the phone with, other than...
Yeah, never said.
Never said who he was on the phone with.
I don't know, they never said they called the person who was on the phone with.
Never said nothing about... Yeah, just...
So they pulled his phone records.
Yeah. And seeing that he was on the phone at 11:27.
And this was before a time, I think, for pains and stuff, you know?
Yeah, probably before, trial location stuff.
Yeah, like the pains off cell towers, you know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's 2004.
Yeah, you still working with a flip phone, bro.
Yeah, Lil Jon was still getting crumped, dog.
Well, yeah, straight up. Snap your fingers, bro.
Yeah. Them franchise boys.
Yeah, dude, like.
But it's just, I don't know, man. They missed something there.
It was definitely
I personally believe that they come in contact with him. Whoever it was, him or her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a possibility that it's a woman.
But... You know, and we didn't cover this in the show because, you know, I don't believe in spewing the personal business of the people, but there, you know, Pistol Black did say the son of Patrice said that she wanted a divorce from Rob.
Yeah.
He said that she did. Rob said, I don't recall that.
He said that was
news. He pled the fifth.
Yeah. He said it was news to him.
In a documentary, yeah.
And he said that for everybody that thinks it was him, pretty much fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, more or less, fuck you. He's got a timestamped receipt. He's in the clear. Yeah. He's held by a stone tight. Like,
that's it. Him and his criminologists agree, are okay.
that's what he said, bro.
Yeah. Basically, ain't nobody getting her ashes, bro. They're going to prime from his dead fingers. That's basically what I got from him.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't let Pistol touch him or see him or anything.
Yeah. But I told you from the jump, as soon as that guy's face crossed the screen, dude, I was like, I don't like that guy. You can't trust him. I knew it, bro.
Oh,
and the director, bro, he said, I know we've come back to Rob.
Well, it's hard not to, bro.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, dude. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not talking nothing bad. I'm just telling you my personal opinions, and that's just what I think.
Yeah.
You know,
he definitely
has
something.
He's definitely, something was up about him to me.
Yeah.
Because he just talked about it like, I mean, if my dead wife, if my wife died, disappeared.
The love of my life.
Yes, disappeared. I'm going to be more upset than he let on to be.
I'm going
to
be breaking that.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to fucking just sit there and talk about it. Mm. I mean, me personally, I'm not, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No. And be okay with it. But he's married again.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 15 years.
We have
but...
to look at this, what do they call that? You know, like a third party.
Yeah, outside looking in.
You know what I'm saying? We have to look at it that way. And I mean, that's been 15 years. That's the way he, well, maybe that's just the way he dealt with death. He was done.
Yeah.
You know, but it definitely, you don't change the locks before you're hiding evidence, in my mind. If I was a detective, I'd have never
Kicked your door in, bro.
I'd have never let that die. Why wasn't you out there searching with him?
Yeah.
You were, instead of searching for this woman that could have possibly come back.
Yeah.
Could have possibly.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Within the first day, very much
so. You're locking the door so she can't get back home.
Well, yeah, that's
What if she's running from the guy that abducted her?
Well, yeah, and trying she to needs get to
the only
home.
Safe place she knows, and that's home. Especially if she'd have been abducted from her place of work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where would you go? Home.
Yeah, straight home, bro. I'm going home.
You wouldn't even stop the police department.
Nope,
you
would I'd go home. Home. I would. Being abducted like that, yeah, I would go home. Go home. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's where you're supposed to be protected at. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's difficult for me, dude. It's difficult for me not to take my laser beams off him. And, you know, my thing about Paul Cantor, I feel like if there was any connection there, maybe they saw it, but I don't know. I don't know if they saw it or knew. Well, what if they went to a lodge together? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or frequented the same bar.
Or anything, really. I mean, any kind of...
I felt like it may have been treated more as just a disappearance at first. Right. She just left.
Yeah. She was dead. And then by the time that's kind of where they was headed with it at first.
You know,
until they find her body and then it become a damn...
Yeah, and then it was like, and then it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. Definitely. I mean, yeah, definitely too late.
Mm. So, no. Maybe they should reopen it, man.
I mean, it's still open.
I mean, no, I'm talking about like reopen up Rob.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think they should definitely come. I mean, they can't, though, bro. He's got an
airtight alibi, bro.
But that still doesn't eliminate murder for hire.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Then that's a whole nother ball game, bro.
I mean, it doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Because if it was a murder for hire, man, they done their job right. I hate to say it that way, but excuse me. But if it was a murder for hire plot, then they, you know, he paid for it.
Right. I mean,
I mean, but what's weird to me is it. What seems to me, man, is that it was like a serial killer type thing. The way it was like they wanted the body to be found.
Right.
And that's what makes Rob so suspicious to me, because even though he's 40 minutes away.
Hour away, 45.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, about 45 minutes away.
Yeah. So either way, he's that far away. That doesn't mean he couldn't have paid somebody to abduct her and bring him back. They go to the house, change the locks, and he just... And then when the buzz around the fact that she was missing starts dying down, because sociopaths, they want to be noticed for their murders.
Yeah.
Bundy, Dahmer. I mean, they all eventually want to be worshipped for the murders. Manson, all of them.
Yeah.
They're sociopaths. They want acknowledgement for... It's like work of art.
Yeah.
Like Red Dragon, have you ever seen that? You've seen Red Dragon. That's the way, you know, the FBI categorize serial killers. They want recognition for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the way the bones were just...
They were all there.
Yeah, who put the carcass there?
That's what I'm saying. They don't know if she was drug out there.
But what about the deer carcass?
Well, it probably just died, bro.
What were the odds of it dying right there?
Maybe that was God's work.
True that.
You know what I'm saying?
Praise be in his name, brother. Amen. Good answer. Because I'm just saying, I'm looking on the
You know, because I mean, like, hell, them buzzards are flying, you know. Yeah. I mean, heck, when I see buzzards flying, I always wonder, you know, what's out there.
Yeah.
Personally, if I see them going down the road, I'm thinking, man, I wonder what they're, you know. Yeah. Most of the time I assume it's an animal carcass of some sort.
It could be body bones next to I mean, where I was going with that was the greatest answer you could have gave right there.
Maybe it was time for her
Lord
to
and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what
he
I'm
was
saying?
Ready for, you know, he was but ready for her to come home, bro.
On the flip side of that, on Lucifer's side of the coin, somebody killed that deer and put it there to rot beside those bones so somebody would find it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it would be publicized again and they could get the rush of getting away with it. And that's what sociopaths do, bro. Ted Bundy was infamous for that, bro. He wanted them to know. It's like jumping out of that window with that cross and running into the woods in Colorado just to keep that rush going, you know? That's what they do.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know, bro. You think as a sociopath, you know, that's what you do. You know?
1 second, Anchor. We'll be right back.
That's it. That slapper, boy.
We're back.
That's it. Thanks for sending that ad once again.
So, I mean, you know, it's definitely weird, like.
Yeah. I feel like there was some shoddy police work done. I think there was like, yeah, she ran away.
Yeah.
Good looking woman.
Yeah.
Money gone.
Owns her own barbershop. Yeah.
Probably good looking 20-year-old dude. High school dropout with a car. Showing her some attention. I mean, these are all possibilities to them at this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know. Son's 17. He's kind of got a feel for the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but according to her family, she would have never left him.
I understand that.
Because they were tight.
I feel like this is where that's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like it was handled.
What's going through the cops?
Yeah, that's what was handled. She went away with somebody.
Yeah.
That was I guarantee you that was a talk around town.
That's. I think they asked Pistol. Didn't they ask Pistol if she might have ran away or something? He's like, nah, bro.
Yeah,
I know they asked the sister. She said, nah. Which was Colleen Kramer, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I mean, that's just where, you know, that's where they was going with it. If they had to treat it like a murder, what's another thing? 6 miles? And you had people searching? Were they not searching? You know what I'm saying? It seems like 5 miles.
Well, I mean, you got to think. I mean, we live in a very, very wooded area.
Yeah.
We do, bro.
But you would think wooded. 5 miles.
I mean, there's some of these woods I don't want to walk through, period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these woods are so thick, I wouldn't walk through them. I don't give a damn.
But 6 miles with all those people searching, it's like, that body wasn't there, bro.
But like you said, it's a small town.
Yeah.
You know, how many people searching, for real? You know, how many people's in the Forsyth County?
They said about 300 people.
Really?
That's what they said.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. That's a lot of people, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but do you think they went that far down? I mean...
It said it was what? 100 yards behind that church?
Yeah, something like that.
In a 6 mile radius of her salon, yeah, I feel like that area should have been covered. I do. If not, maybe, like by you 300 said, people by the post, 6 miles.
Behind a church, though?
Within a 6 mile radius of her place, yes.
But there's nothing out there, though. I mean, I understand that, though. I mean, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, you gotta look at it like this, behind a church in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like,
yeah, where else better?
I mean, you're right. Yeah, if you're a killer, yeah.
Like you said earlier, you're just going to drive by and think that somebody's just walking in. You don't know.
Yeah.
So you see somebody parked at a church, you're not going to automatically assume they're going to murder somebody. You're not.
Or they're taking a dead body out there.
Yeah,
or whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that my theory, my conspiracy, I think it wasn't there. I think somebody has...
Held on to it and then put it out at a later date.
Yeah. Sociopathic tendencies. They put it out at a later date. That they're getting away with the kill. And, you know?
That's pretty fucked, bro.
That's what they do, though.
That's crazy, man. That is wild, dude.
So.
But yeah, I mean, that's our, you know.
That's our case on Patrice Andreas,
man. Yeah,
it's all the theories. That's all the story, what we believe.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Like I said, the disclaimers earlier.
You've made it this far a couple times. Yeah.
If you've made it this far, I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Hit the like button and subscribe.
That's it, man.
This was our first episode.
Let that like button know how we did, man.
Yeah, dude.
That's what it's about.
That's it, man.
It's our first true crime episode. It'll be the name, once this episode drops, will be Backyard Bull Spitting Investigates.
That's it. I think it's a colon. I believe it's called a colon.
Yeah. Or semicolon. I'm not sure.
It's not a semicolon.
It's not. All right. It's a colon. We're all colon. That's it.
Boom. Colon.
Two dots. One more spot for our guys here.
Stars of Serendipity, bro.
Yeah.
Stars of Serendipity 20. @gmail.com, promo code bullspitting.
Hit them with
all one word. All one word.
Yeah.
Stars of Serendipity 20 @gmail.com.
That's it. That's it. Slapper. $5 off every 30 you spend.
It's also on Facebook.
That's it.
You know, Stars of Serendipity.
Give them a follow.
Yeah, do what you got to do, man. Like,
that's it.
Get your shirts, your cups, your decals. They do it all.
Yeah. Any epoxy need.
That's it, bro.
And get that slap up,
man. Yeah.
Damn good episode, brother. We appreciate y'all sitting through it, man. This first true crime shit. I really enjoyed that shit.
That was fun.
I enjoyed that.
It was fun. And now the nerves are off. You know, we'll be coming more, like I said, the first episode, we'll be coming more prepared.
This week. We haven't decided on a story yet, but for next week's episode, be waiting on the Instagram. I'll post a short video sometime this week letting you know what we'll be talking about.
And also, if you got any cold cases or cases that you'd like us to look into, by all means, drop them in the comments.
BackyardBullspitting@outlook.com.
What's up?
Drop us an email.
All one word.
That's it. Send us a message on Instagram.
Facebook. You know, anywhere. YouTube, wherever you want to.
Let us know.
Anchor. I don't know if you can send that messages on Anchor, brother. Yeah. If you can, by God, shout out to you boys.
That's it. We're hollering you to know, back y'all boys. Bye.
That's what we're here for. You know, let us know. I mean, we're going to be working on our own cases. But if y'all have any that y'all specifically want to hear,
send us the names let us of know. The case, the details, and we'll...
At least, you know, the deets.
Yeah, and we'll try to cover it as soon, if not when you send it to us.
That week.
We'll let you know when you're
on. Yeah, we'll shout you out.
Yeah, when your case is brought up, we'll let you know. We'll let you know so you're ready for it. Mm-hmm. Any of our people out there in Australia, Singapore, Germany, Ireland, Russia... Anyway, you got anything out there you'd like to look into?
Send it this way, dude. What's up, dude? We'll do some international crime investigations. What's up?
And also over there, our people overseas, you can also email them to get a cup, a t-shirt, decal, anything you want.
Yeah, what's up?
Backyard bull spitting, big dog.
Stars of serendipity.
Yeah.
We'll catch y'all next week.
See you later.